I just need to make this cold again and get you some crushed ice to chew on, okay?
Don't leave.
I won't leave. I'll be right back. I pried his arm off my waist. Amelia was in the kitchen when I got there. Did you order pizza?
Yes, a little while ago. They said 30 minutes or less.
I pulled a 20 out of my bag and handed it to her.
I'm glad you're here, she said. Is Cooper going to be okay?
Yes, he'll be fine. He just has a fever. I'm sure it will be gone by tomorrow.
Okay, I'll wait for the pizza guy.
Come get me when he comes, okay? Don't answer the door by yourself.
I'm 14, you know.
I gave her a hard stare.
Okay, okay.
With ice and newly cooled rag, I went back to Cooper's room. He appeared to have gone back to sleep. I laid the rag across his forehead and set the ice on his nightstand. I sat down next to him again. It was rare that I got to stare at Cooper for long, uninterrupted moments like this. But as I sat next to him, his arm around me again, his eyes closed, I couldn't help it. He had long blonde eyelashes that curled up. His nose had a knot in it from when he broke it falling off his quad when he was a kid. His lips, which were normally soft and full, were dried and cracked.
Man, did I love this boy so much.
His head was still on fire, and I was worried. I picked up some ice and ran it along his lips. Tingles spread from the back of my neck all the way down my arms.
No! What was wrong with me?
I dropped the ice back in the cup, clenched my hands into fists, and forced them to my sides. I sat like that for a long time, listening to him breathe, willing his body to heal. The doorbell rang and I slipped out of Cooper's hold and stepped out of his room. It was a good excuse for a break. The pizza guy was in the open door by the time I got there, giving Amelia some change.
I thought I told you to wait for me, I said to her.
Oops, she said, taking the pizza and shutting the door. Sorry.
I hip-checked her.
You want some?
What kind?
Pepperoni and mushrooms.
Sure. She put the pizza on the table and pulled two plates from the cupboard.
I heard the fish painting is going to be in the show. I knew it would work.
I'm happy it did.
Do you think Cooper will let me come to the art show?
Yes, of course. You're all invited. Your parents can come too. It's Sunday night.
My parents are out of town.
Oh, right. Well, tag along with Cooper. He's bringing my mom for me, too. My plans for the night involved me taking Cooper outside anyway, away from everyone, to the Overlook. Was I still going to be able to do that? Was he going to be well enough? She took a big bite of pizza.
He'll have to come get me at my friend's house. My mom arranged for me to spend Sunday over there.
Where'd your parents go anyway? I asked, sitting down.
My dad took my mom on some anniversary cruise trip for the weekend.
Fun.
She called. She's seasick.
Oh, that's not so fun. I slid a slice of pizza out of the box and onto the plate that now sat in front of me. And where was Cooper today? I tried to ask casually, like I didn't care. It was weird not knowing what he'd been up to this week.
Guess he took Riss to some fish spa?
She said it like she didn't know what that was.
He did what? I asked, mad that he wouldn't do that with me, but had stolen the idea to do with her.
I know. Weird, right?
Yeah. Weird. I took a couple of deep breaths. I was not going to get mad.
Do you like her? I asked.
Amelia shrugged.
She's okay. She bakes a lot.
Yeah, she told me she liked to bake.
That's cool.
Amelia leaned forward and lowered her voice, like Iris was in the next room.
She needs a bit more practice.
A laugh burst out of me before I could stop it.
Amelia's cheeks went pink. We each ate 2 slices of pizza before I threw my napkin on my plate and pushed myself away from the table. I better go check on your brother.
He's a baby.
Most of the time, yes.
Did he call you to come over here?
He texted me.
Huh,
she said with a small nod. What?
Nothing. He's just a baby.
I could tell I wasn't going to get what she was really thinking out of her, so I left. Cooper's shoulders rose and fell in a steady rhythm as I stared at him from the door. I let myself inside and gently placed my hand to his forehead. His head felt a lot cooler, and I took a breath of relief. Hopefully this was just some 24-hour bug. I walked slowly around his room, looking at the things on his walls. I'd been in his room a million times before, so I'd seen them all a million times before. But I hadn't really looked at them in a while. He had lots of pictures. For his birthday a couple of years ago, I'd bought him a Polaroid camera, the one that immediately spits out a low-quality picture. And there were tons of those, like a border at eye level around his room. His eye level, not mine, so I had to stand on my tiptoes to look at them. So many were of him and me in various places over the years. Beach, Taco Bell, dunes, school. There were some of the 4 of us, too. Cooper, Justin, Rachel, and me. But they were mostly of just the 2 of us. He'd carried that camera everywhere for a while. Like it wasn't easier to just snap a picture with his cell phone.
These ones I can hold in my hands instantly,
he'd said when I told him as much. But gradually, he stopped bringing it places, and I hadn't seen it in several months. That's why the last string of pictures surprised me. Him and Iris. Him and Iris on his quad. Him and Iris at the beach. She made the wall. That was new, too. My hands started to sweat as I stared at those pictures. It was fine. It wasn't too late. My plan was going to work. He'd chosen me the other day. He'd chosen me tonight. He'd choose me again. But what if he didn't? What if it was too late? I swung around and was almost to his door when Cooper said,
Abby?
Yes, what, huh? I said a little too loudly. I rushed to his bedside.
I thought you left.
I didn't leave. I'm here.
Good. I like it when you're here.
Me too.
You're my favorite,
he mumbled. My shoulders relaxed. I know. You're mine too. 29. I'd gotten to Cooper's house at 8. It was now almost midnight, my curfew. He'd been in and out of sleep. We'd had several incoherent, on his part, conversations. I'd wet and re-wet his rag tons of times. But now that his fever was gone and he was sleeping comfortably beside me, I could leave. An hour before, Amelia had come in and said goodnight. Everything was going to be fine. I needed to leave. I lifted Cooper's heavy arm from where it rested on my lap and got out of his bed. His phone sat on his nightstand. It was nearly dead. I'd heard it buzz its low battery signal earlier. I plugged it into the charger so he'd have a way to text me if he woke up. Then I pulled out my phone and sent him a text. Curfew. Had to go. Hope you feel better. I lingered by the door. Why was I lingering? Why did I hope he'd wake up and beg me to stay? I needed to leave. So I left. That night, I dreamed that I slept through the show. I woke the next morning in a panic before I remembered it was only Saturday. I still had a full day before I should have had a dream like that, but I was relieved it was only a nightmare. I had 2 texts waiting for me on my phone. The first was from Lacey. You saw him last night. Avoid him like the plague today and tomorrow to counteract your weakness. Yes, boss, I texted back. The second was from Cooper.
I heard I was a baby last night. Thanks for taking care of me.
So he didn't remember? Is that what he was saying? I answered, you were. Does this mean you're feeling better?
Much. Good enough for my quad in the dunes. You in?
Funny.
I thought you conquered that fear.
I faced it. Didn't conquer it. The next text that came through was from Lacey again. And don't text him all day either. I laughed and did just as she directed. I didn't text him another word. He must have figured I was busy setting up for the show, because he didn't text me another word either. I didn't dwell on it. Too much. Because I was busy setting up for the show. I scrubbed so many baseboards and chair rails that day that my shoulders ached. Grandpa, I need a shoulder rub, but no deep tissue, I said when I got home that night. I plopped myself on the floor in front of his chair.
How else am I supposed to get the knots out then?
Mom turned the computer to face me, and I saw my dad's smiling face on the screen.
Hey, kid, you made the show.
Yes, I did. You got my email?
I did. I answered back, but you've had a busy week, I hear?
So busy. Sorry.
It's okay,
he said.
Good luck. I'm sad I can't make it.
Can't make it, huh? Yeah, right. You're going to surprise me. Like those soldier dads I see on the internet all the time, jumping out of boxes at football games or cakes at birthday parties, aren't you?
They jump out of boxes at football games?
He asked. Yes. It's very dramatic, and there are lots of tears. Grandpa started rubbing my shoulder, and I sucked in a painful breath.
No, kid. That's not happening. I wish,
Dad said. That's what they all say. They try to play it off. But I'm on to you. Just don't jump out of any of my paintings, or you'll have to pay for them. I will work on my good crying face, though.
Abby, She's kidding, Paul,
Mom said.
She knows you're not coming.
She waved her hand at me behind the computer, telling me to knock it off. Grandpa, who was always quick to jump on board when he thought people were the most uncomfortable, said,
I hope you have a videographer set up for all this, Paul. Those kinds of videos get millions of views online.
My mom sighed and turned the computer back toward her with an apologetic look on her face. You know how they are, she said. They like to take things just beyond the funny point. What? I said, indignant. I thought we were just under maximum level of humor on that one.
Me too,
Grandpa agreed, while digging into the knot on my neck.
I had at least two more rounds in that volley.
Nobody says rounds in a volley, Grandpa.
I do, so that's not true.
Ouch! I said not deep tissue. He backed off a little.
Are you all ready for tomorrow?
Yes, I think so. I was ready to show my art. I wasn't sure if I was ready to kiss Cooper, but both were happening regardless of if I was ready or not. I just hoped he was. 30. I paced my station in Lacey's heels. I hadn't had time to shop for my own, and hers were definitely too small. They pinched my toes and rubbed at the side of my foot. But they did look good. What was it she had said about sacrifice? She sent me a text earlier, and I smiled remembering it now. Good luck. Remember, your lips will change hearts. The doors hadn't been opened to the public yet, but they would be soon. I pulled out my phone to look at the time. 6:45. 15 minutes. I told Cooper to wait until 8, though, so hopefully he remembered that. It would be better for my mom. I sent him off a quick text just to make sure. Because of my strict charge to avoid him, I hadn't gone over the schedule with him since a week ago at Milkshake's, with Iris listening in.
A low-grade headache pressed at the back of my skull and up into my temples. I hoped it stayed mild. The other stations around me each had 3 or 4 people arranging and rearranging paintings and placards. I twisted my hands around each other, then smoothed my dress again. My mom had helped me put my hair up in a loose twist, with strategic pieces left down around my face. My paintings hung on the wall behind me like a backdrop. I adjusted one of the placards, the Tree of Life, which was obviously the tree painting. I named all my paintings that week. The one of Cooper on the dunes I'd named Fearless. The spotlight from the stage I called New Perspective. The fish spa fish I decided to call Distorted. And finally, the sunrise. For some reason, that painting represented all the new things I had tried over the past several weeks with Cooper. A coming to life. That painting was my favorite, mostly because that morning had been my favorite, sitting there and taking it in. So I named the sunrise the Heartless. I was excited for people to see the paintings. I was especially excited for my mom to see the theater one. It was like a premonition of tonight. She'd finally get to see me in the spotlight. Mr. Wallace was making the final rounds. He was visiting each artist, asking them if there was anything else they needed. I knew the drill. I just hadn't been on this side of the drill before. When he reached me, he squeezed my hand. He looked a little more put together tonight. He had on a dark suit that wasn't quite as big as usual. His gray hair had been cut recently, giving him a more polished look.
"How are you feeling?"
he asked. "Excited." His eyes flitted over my paintings.
"Good luck,"
he said. "Thanks."
"You should put your phone away. Try to be as professional as possible."
"Yes, I was planning on it. Thanks." I tucked it back into my purse and set my purse on the chair behind a screen I'd set up for my mom. I'd found the pretty painted screen in the back room and thought it would be a perfect place to escape if she needed a breather. The doors opened seconds later. And then there were people. There were people walking around the museum looking at paintings. Looking at my paintings. I hoped I could keep my excited feet on the ground. A familiar face came into my view. "Elliot," I said. I hadn't seen him since the party and hadn't texted him since talking to Tree Man.
"I didn't realize you were an artist featured here tonight,"
he said. I wasn't sure if it was actually happening either.
"You look great."
"Thanks." I stepped aside because he was trying to peer around me to look at my paintings.
"These are amazing, Abby."
"Thank you." I followed him as he stepped in front of each one. "Have you entered your sculptures in a show like this?"
"No, I haven't. I should."
He stood in front of the sunrise now.
"I like what you did with color here. Cold to warm."
It was nice talking to someone my age who understood the nuances in art.
"Have you had a lot of people come by?"
he asked. "I've had a few that seemed interested. Lots of lookers." Speaking of lookers, a well-dressed older couple came alongside Elliot to look at the sunrise piece. Some patrons were the silent type, and it was nerve-wracking not hearing what they thought of my art, good or bad.
"It's amazing, right?"
Elliot asked the man who was closest to him.
"Is it abstract or realism?"
the man asked.
"It's abstract meets realism."
The man grunted a little, like he wasn't into twists on classic forms. Then they moved on.
"He's stupid,"
Elliot whispered. "It's fine. Art is subjective. That's what makes it great," I said. "We each get to love or hate something on our own terms."
"Well said."
I turned away from my paintings to face the room again. My feet were killing me. "You haven't seen my family or Cooper around, have you?"
"Around here?"
I smiled. "No, at the McDonald's up the street. Of course around here."
"I haven't. You want me to go make a loop and see if I can find them?"
He pointed to the second level, where the other half of the displays were set up. No, that's okay. They'd come find me once they were here.
I'm going to finish my round, then. Check out the other artists.
Of course. Go. Tell me your favorite when you're done, so I can look at it later.
But art is subjective, Abby. You'll have to pick your own favorite.
He winked at me. I gave him a shove to help him on his way, and he smiled at me over his shoulder. Then I went back to waiting. After three more groups of people came by my display, I couldn't help myself. I snuck out my phone and slipped behind the screen. My phone said it was already 8:30. Only an hour and a half left of the show. There were three missed calls, all from our home number, none from Cooper. I texted him again. Where are you? My mom and grandpa are waiting. I pulled up the Find Your Friend app and tried to locate him, but it said inaccessible. It only said that when his phone was powered off or out of battery. I quickly dialed the home number. Grandpa picked up after the second ring.
Where is Cooper?
He asked. I don't know. I was calling you to find out.
He hasn't been here,
Grandpa said. How is Mom?
She's okay, but she does much better when things go like she meticulously rehearsed them in her head.
I know. Cooper was sick Friday night. Yesterday morning he said he was feeling better, but I haven't talked to him since then. I wonder if he took a turn for the worse. I felt a presence to my left and looked up to see Mr. Wallace. I let out a short yelp of surprise. I have to go, I said to Grandpa. Can you try to call Cooper?
I'll try.
Come even if he doesn't.
Without Cooper, we have no car. You have it.
I had forgotten that minor detail. A cab? Grandpa gave an ironic laugh.
You think your mother would get in a cab?
No.
Either way, Abby, have fun tonight. Don't pin all your success on your mom.
I hung up because Mr. Wallace was still there, still staring. I'm sorry, I said quickly. My mom was supposed to come, and my friend, and I was getting worried. I trailed off when I realized he didn't care about my excuses. I'm sorry.
Please try not to show your age tonight, Abby. This isn't a show about your parents seeing their kids' artwork.
Ouch. I nodded and stepped out from behind the screen. There was nobody at my station, but I went to stand by my paintings anyway. Another half hour went by. At least that was my guess. I couldn't be certain without my phone. My excitement from before was melting to disappointment, and my head started to ache even more. I saw Elliot across the way, and I waved him over.
What's up?
He asked. What time is it? He looked at a smartwatch on his wrist.
9:05.
There's less than an hour left. Cooper was supposed to get my mom. I have the car. Will you do me a favor?
Sure.
Text Cooper for me? I had a feeling his phone wasn't on, but maybe it was just the Find Your Friend app that wasn't working. Or my phone was being weird. Or something.
What's his number?
I recited it to him.
What do you want me to say?
Say, Abby is looking for you. Where are you? She said that if you're not sick, she's going to break into the nearest science facility, steal their deadliest virus, and release it in your bedroom. Elliot raised his eyebrows at me. I watched him type.
Abby wants to know where you are.
Into his phone. That works too, I said. We both stared at his phone, waiting for a reply. When nothing happened, I sighed. Excuse me, a voice from behind us said. Are these your paintings? I turned to see the woman looking at Elliot.
No.
He said, at the same time I said, No, they're mine. Here, let me show them to you. As I walked her to the nearest one, out of the corner of my eye I caught Mr. Wallace staring in my direction. Had he seen that whole exchange? My grandpa was right. I needed to stop thinking about it and let tonight be about my paintings, and not about a breakthrough for my mom. Or Cooper and me. As I let both of those ideas slip to the floor, my heart followed suit.
31. As soon as the woman moved on to another artist, Mr. Wallace was at my side again. Elliot must have moved on as well, because he was nowhere to be seen.
Abby, I'm disappointed,
Mr. Wallace said.
Your father assured me you would be mature.
My father? You know my father?
He emailed me. Didn't he tell you? I thought that's why you brought your paintings by last week.
He emailed you? That's why you picked me?
He said one of the paintings you were displaying was already sold, so it would be financially smart of the museum to allow an opportunity for the others to be seen. I meant to tell you earlier that you should put a sold sticker next to the placard of the one that is sold.
My dad had lied to get me into the show tonight? My paintings hadn't earned their own way in?
You have a patron.
Mr. Wallace nodded behind me, then left me standing there with that new information swirling around in my head and trying to drain out my eyes. I sniffed back the tears and joined the older gentleman looking at the painting of Cooper on the sand dunes. The painting looked so juvenile now. Nobody else at the show tonight had a quad on their canvases.
My grandson would love this,
the man said. I nodded numbly. It's my friend. He rides.
So does my grandson. How much?
He was the first person to ask me my prices, and I became tongue-tied. This man was buying this for a kid. My eyes slid to the fish painting next to it. My paintings, loved only by children. Maybe they were immature. I suddenly felt embarrassed, like I was selling stuffed animals while everyone else was selling live exotic ones. Like I was the only amateur in a room full of professionals. Maybe Mr. Wallace really had been protecting me by telling me no. I wasn't ready. My paintings weren't ready.
Young lady?
The man asked, sympathy in his voice.
Are you okay?
Yes. I'm not sure how much I should sell that for. I had researched and priced my paintings before the show, but now those prices seemed too high.
Should I make you an offer?
I turned to face him fully. I could do this. He wanted this painting. I was going to sell it to him. Just as I opened my mouth to speak, my eyes collided with a pin on the lapel of his suit coat. A U.S. flag alongside an Army one. He knew my dad. My dad had sent him here. If my dad had been willing to lie to Mr. Wallace to get me in the show, I had no doubt he'd talked some of his friends into coming to support me. He probably even told them he'd buy a painting for them. Anger coursed through me. No, that one isn't for sale, actually. I planned to give it to Cooper, and if this was just someone my dad had told to come in, I wasn't about to let it go. Where was Cooper? I was worried about him. His parents were still out of town, and his sister had gone to a friend's today. Was he at home burning up with a fever?
Oh, okay. Someone beat me to it, I guess,
the man said. He handed me his card.
If you ever paint another one featuring a quad, give me a call.
Okay, thanks. He left, and I paced, regardless of the blisters I now had on both feet. I paced and looked at the door. Before, I'd been begging time to slow down. And now, I just wanted tonight to be over. My phone was buzzing. It rattled my bag on the chair behind the screen. At this point, I didn't care what Mr. Wallace said. I pulled it out. Elliot's name flashed across the screen, and I furrowed my brow in confusion. Hello?
Hey.
It was Grandpa, and now I really was confused.
Thanks for sending Elliot, but she can't do it. Take lots of pictures for us.
Elliot's there? I whispered back.
Yes.
You can't talk Mom into coming?
I've tried, and it's not working.
Then you come.
Abby, I can't leave your mom like this.
She's a mess now.
What? I asked in disbelief. She doesn't want you to come either?
It's not that she doesn't want me to come.
Is she telling you to come?
I don't think I should leave her like this.
Okay. I snapped and hung up the phone, angry tears stinging my eyes. I didn't take pictures. They could see all the paintings when I got home. They would all still be mine. Cooper, are you okay? I tried one last time. My phone said 5 minutes left. 5 minutes. I counted to 100, then 100 again, and again, until Mr. Wallace stood by the door, saying goodbye to the last guest. Then, as quickly as possible, I cleaned up my station, making several trips out to the car to store my paintings.
Abby,
Mr. Wallace called, as I passed him with my last armload. I can't talk right now, I answered over my shoulder. I have to go. Emergency. I didn't look to see his face. I knew it would register disappointment. At the car, I took off my heels and threw them behind the driver's seat. My paintings were tucked away in the back. I started the car, my hands shaking. I made it to Cooper's in record time. His house was dark. I parked across the street. First, I rang the doorbell. I didn't wait long before I was at his window, though. Cooper, are you okay? I pried it open like I had before and climbed in. His room was pitch black. I clicked on his desk lamp to see his bed was empty. I tore through the rest of his house, even checking his parents' room. There was nobody there. The worry that had driven me to his house melted first into relief, and then into anger. If he wasn't here, where was he? I could wait. I sat on his bed. It smelled like him, so I moved to the floor by the window. 10:30 came and went. Then 11. My phone buzzed. The text was from Grandpa.
Are you still at the museum?
No. Out. I'll be home late. Avoiding them right now felt like the best way to punish them. I knew I shouldn't have been mad at my mom. She had an illness. When I realize now that she obviously needed help for. But my brain and my emotions weren't playing well together. Because I was mad. I was mad at everyone, really. Cooper, obviously. Grandpa, for not being able to talk Mom into coming, and then not coming himself when he couldn't. Dad, for forcing it to happen at all when I hadn't earned it. I leaned my head back, letting it hit the wall. That sent a painful jolt through my already aching head. I rubbed my temples and thought about getting some aspirin from the medicine cabinet in Cooper's bathroom, but couldn't find the energy to stand. I hadn't shut the window all the way, and a slight breeze played with my hair. I wondered if I should call the police. Had Cooper gotten in an accident? My mind wanted him to have a really good excuse for tonight. He would have a really good excuse. My mind was also conjuring up something I had tried my hardest not to think about. But all that hurt I had pushed deep down inside me was rising to the surface as this new hurt filled me up. Last year, the fateful night on the beach, Cooper and I had been hanging out after celebrating his 1,000,000th win. Justin and Rachel hadn't been able to make it to the after party for one reason or another. But it didn't matter. Cooper was high on life, and his smile felt like the center of mine. I had realized, quite suddenly in that moment, that I lived for his smile. That every time I saw it, my own smile couldn't help but appear. And I knew then and there that I'd do anything to see it. Happiness bubbled in my chest, all fizzy and intoxicating. We're good together, I'd said. He'd met my stare, and his smile slowly fell away. I thought it had been because he was recognizing the seriousness of the moment, of what I was about to say. So I'd barreled forward. "I think I love you." His expression went darker. And then I knew. He didn't feel the same way. He'd punched my shoulder playfully and said,
"You too. You're a great friend."
I hoped the dark night hid my red cheeks. I managed to keep the sting in my eyes from turning into tears, and I forced myself to laugh. "You should see your face right now. Did you think I meant as more than a friend?" His face went from horror to levity faster than I'd finished the sentence. He laughed too, and let it go as easy as that. I was pulled out of last year's memory by a car door shutting out front, followed by laughter. It was crystal clear through the open window.
"I had fun today," Cooper said. "Thanks for the surprise."
"Of course." That was Iris. "Thanks for coming so last minute. I'm sorry about your phone."
"It's okay. I'll try the rice thing."
Cooper must have started walking away because Iris said, "Hey, don't I get a hug or anything?" There was a pause, and then a squeal. Obviously, Cooper had picked her up in a hug. I forced myself not to cry. I was too mad. I couldn't let hurt take over. When her car drove away, I stood up and tugged down the bottom of my dress. Why was I still here? I could just climb back out the window and confront him the next day, when my emotions were more reined in. I didn't. Cooper walked into his room and flipped on the overhead light. Then he let out a startled yell followed by a laugh.
"You scared me."
I didn't respond.
"Did you miss me?"
He took in my dress.
"Wow, you look hot. Did you have a date tonight?"
Was he really asking that? He forgot? No, I had that whole art show thing. Nothing big. His smile slid off his face and his brows went down.
"No, that's tomorrow."
"Really? Huh, I guess nobody told all the artists, and guess who showed up tonight?" My voice was like ice.
"You said it was on the 21st.
"Today is the 21st, Cooper."
"No, it's the 20th, right? Saturday?"
I snorted out an insincere laugh. I wanted to rip down all the pictures from his wall and shred them to pieces because the anger throbbing in my chest was so intense. He shook his head.
"Is it really Sunday? I'm a total jerk. My phone fell into a tide pool today. It's completely busted. You haven't been texting me at all this week. I'm not used to zero reminders about things."
He was blaming this on me? Something washed over me. It started at my scalp and poured down my body in a numbing wave. It wasn't exactly peace, but it was acceptance. Resolution, maybe. "I'm done," I said. And I found that I truly meant it.
"I must have lost a day when I was sick,"
he continued, without acknowledging what I'd said.
"It's summer. The days all blend together. Plus, I think Iris said it was Saturday this morning. She must have been confused, too."
"Oh, I'm sure she was so confused."
"Why was that dripping sarcasm?"
I held up my hands in surrender. "No reason, Cooper. I'm done."
"What does that mean? Why do you keep saying that?"
"This one-sided thing isn't working. I can't do it anymore. Have a good life." I either had to climb out the window and look like a major buffoon with my short dress riding up to my waist, or walk by him, out the door he was still blocking, and maintain my resolve. I sensed it deep in my chest. I could walk by him. He didn't move when I reached the door. I looked up at him. His eyes were pained. It cracked my heart a little more.
I'm sorry, Abby. Please don't walk away like this. Let me make it up to you.
This was the Cooper that could normally get me to do anything. His pleading eyes, his charming smile, his persuasive voice. It didn't work this time. Cooper, move.
Abby, please don't leave like this. How was the show? Does your mom hate me for not picking her up?
She didn't come. He pushed his fingers against his closed eyes.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. I'm a huge jerk, the biggest one in existence.
Move, I growled. He reached out for my hand, and I yanked it away violently. He wasn't used to that from me. I could see it in his surprised expression. I didn't ask him to move again. I pushed him aside and fled. I made it to my car and drove down the block before I let the tears come. And they came. 32. Mom and Grandpa were waiting up for me when I got home. Mom was a mess. Her eyes were puffy, her makeup washed away. I didn't want to hear another round of apologies. It didn't seem to matter what I wanted tonight, because apologies were what I got. She collapsed on me, her hands around my shoulders, her face in my neck. I'm so sorry. I don't want to talk about this tonight. I pushed her off. I never pushed her away. And now anger and guilt pressed against my chest so hard that I couldn't breathe. Mom let out a sob. You need help, I spit out. She nodded. I know. I need to go to bed. I knew I wouldn't be sleeping anytime soon. I really just need to get out of this room before I said more things that I could never take back. I whirled around and stormed down the hall. Grandpa, who hadn't said a word, followed after me. What? I snapped.
Do you need to talk about it?
His voice was calm, like that would make this all okay. I need to be left alone.
You're mad.
Yes, I'm mad.
You should be. I would be.
Good, because I am.
I'm sorry she couldn't make it.
I'm mad at you, Grandpa. You.
I couldn't leave her.
Really? Really? That's the excuse you're going with? You. The one who's always trying to push her to do more. This time it was too much?
I'd never seen her quite this bad, Abby.
Then maybe you could have asked Elliot to stay with her. Maybe you could have left her for just 30 minutes and come and shown me some support. This was an important night, and it's like you didn't even care about me.
I care about you. You know that.
Well, you certainly didn't show it. Now please get out of my room. I knew half of this tirade was for Cooper, but at least half of it was for my grandpa, too, so I didn't call him back when he lowered his head and left. Somehow yelling at him didn't make me feel any better. My head was pounding, and my eyes felt like they were on fire. I should have waited until I had calmed down to send an email to my dad, but he deserved some of this anger, too. The email was short, but true to how I felt. Dad, never, ever lie or bully someone into including your daughter in anything again. Let her earn her own achievements. I hit send and closed my laptop. Then I went to my bathroom, downed 2 aspirin, and crawled into bed. My phone woke me the next morning with lots of buzzing. I sat up. I'd slept in my clothes and makeup. My eyelashes felt clumpy. I looked at my phone. There were exactly 32 texts from Cooper. Guess he'd fixed his phone somehow. Most of them were just the words, "I'm sorry," over and over and over again. I had a text from Lacey as well.
"You didn't send me a report. That must mean it went exceptionally well."
I groaned and got out of bed. I took a long and very hot shower. My skin was red and splotchy when I climbed out. In the 20 minutes I'd been in the bathroom, Cooper had sent 5 more texts. I ignored those as well. There was no reply to the email I'd written my dad. It wasn't like he had time to just sit around checking his email. I knew it might take a few days. I hoped I didn't regret sending it by then. I steeled myself and went out to the kitchen. Grandpa sat at the table. I looked around, but didn't see my mom anywhere.
"She's still sleeping. She had an emotional night."
"Didn't we all?" I mumbled.
"Can we talk about it?"
"Not yet, Grandpa. Please, not yet." I felt dizzy and leaned against the counter.
"Can you at least tell me if Cooper is okay? I was worried last night when he didn't show up."
"I never want to talk about Cooper again." He raised his eyebrows. "No, really. I'm done with Cooper. Forever." I knew this was my emotion speaking. If it had been Rachel or Justin, I would have been mad at them for a few days and moved on. But it wasn't Rachel or Justin. It was Cooper. The guy I loved. And that love was now making forgiveness feel impossible.
"That's, forever?"
Grandpa asked. My headache was back and my head throbbed. Grandpa narrowed his eyes at me, then reached forward and felt my head.
"You're burning up."
"Cooper," I growled.
"I don't think heartbreak causes fevers,"
Grandpa said. "No, he was sick. On top of everything, he gave me his bug." Grandpa dug some medicine out of the cupboard, and I took it and went back to bed. Cooper called and texted all day long. I had to turn off my phone at one point. Mom hovered in my doorway later that day.
"How are you feeling?"
She stared at me with a pained expression that I knew had nothing to do with my illness and everything to do with her guilt. "Not great."
"Can you give me a play-by-play of the night?" she asked.
"No, I can't. I feel like I've enabled you for a long time," I said. This was something I had been thinking about since the night before, too. "And I'm not up for talking right now."
"Grandpa told me about Cooper."
"Of course he did." She pretended not to hear me.
"You have a big heart, Abby. I know you'll get through this."
I felt like I had no heart at the moment. Like a certain someone had ripped it out and eaten it. Okay, maybe he hadn't eaten it. But he fed it to some rabid dogs or something. Last night, I had been prepared to hand him my heart. I was going to put myself out there again. And this time, he didn't even show up at all. Not even as a friend. He was supposed to be my best friend. But a best friend wouldn't have dropped the ball on such an important night for me. I wasn't sure what hurt more. Realizing I really lost the guy I loved. Or realizing I lost my best friend. Probably the second. Mom left me alone, and I stared at the walls of my room. My phone lay on the nightstand next to me, full of unanswered texts from Cooper. I needed a distraction. I texted Lacey. Worst night ever. My phone rang, and I thought I was going to have to avoid another Cooper call, but it was Lacey. I picked it up. When do you get back? Was how I answered. In 2 days. I hope I last until then. Tell me everything. And I did. The next day, and 54 more unanswered texts from Cooper, I was sitting on the floor in my room, wielding a pair of unruly knitting needles I had bought, when Grandpa knocked on my open door. Come in. The door opened wider with a squeak.
Hey, you feeling better?
Physically? Yes. I could tell my fever was gone, and the headache I'd had for the last couple of days was gone with it. But anger still glowed in my chest, like an evil that needed to be exorcised.
What are you doing?
He asked. I'm working on the last 4 items on my list. I held up the yarn and needles. Lance had made this look so easy, but it wasn't. Well, 3, technically, since the reciprocated love thing isn't happening anytime soon.
The heart list? I thought that was only for the art show.
No, it was to improve my painting, and that hasn't happened yet.
Of course it did. You got into the show.
Dad wrote Mr. Wallace. It's why he let me display my paintings. He cringed.
Sorry, kid.
If I never heard the word sorry again, it would be too soon. Grandpa moved to where my list hung on my wall.
Is there something on the list about lopsided knitting?
My phone buzzed from the ground next to me. I looked at the screen.
Abby, please, talk to me.
I growled and flipped it over. Did you need anything else? I asked Grandpa curtly.
Nope.
And with that, he left my room. Yes, I definitely needed a good exorcism. 33. It was Saturday, and officially the longest I'd ever gone without seeing Cooper in over a year. 6 days. That number bounced around in my head as I ate breakfast, as I brushed my teeth, as I powered on my computer. Other numbers were in my head, too. Like 10. That was how many voicemails Cooper had left me in 6 days. I'd listened to the first 2, but when I realized they were just repeats of the night in his room.
I'm sorry I mixed up my days. I'm a jerk. Please forgive me.
I started deleting them right when I saw them. 211. And counting. That was the number of texts he'd sent. 3. The number of times he'd shown up at my door and my grandpa sent him away. 23. The number of days it had been since I'd painted anything. And I still didn't feel like picking up a brush or going into the museum. 4. The number of times I'd called in sick this week to work. I didn't want to face Mr. Wallace. What was I going to tell him about my horrible behavior that night? I checked my email. Still no message from my dad. Had he even gotten the email I'd sent? Between not talking to my grandpa, my mom, my dad, or Cooper, I'd never felt more alone. I picked up my phone and called one of the only people I wasn't mad at. Hello? Lacey answered. I need to get out of my house. Well, you're in luck. We were just on our way to an adventure. I'll text you the address. Meet me there. I didn't even ask her to give me more details. I got up, got ready for the first time in 6 days, and left. There were 3 other cars in the parking lot of the abandoned church on R Street when I pulled in. I parked next to the BMW, which I knew was Lacey's.
I still wasn't sure why this was where she said to meet, but at this point, I was up for anything. I was trying to replace bad habits with good ones. Going anywhere without Cooper was a good habit. 6 days. 6 days. I jumped out of my car and hopped my way up the weedy stone pathway to the front doors. Stained glass windows that were missing several panes of glass surrounded the doors, which were nailed shut with several long boards, and created a colorful mosaic in the dirt. I knocked, not sure if I expected someone to answer, but not sure how to get in. Nobody came, so I walked around the building. On the back side, I found another door, a missing board providing a space just big enough to crawl through. I took a deep breath and dived in. I pulled my phone out to light the area. "Hello?" I called, in more of a whisper than a shout. Nobody answered. The whole place smelled like stale dirt. I stepped over and around broken bits of colored glass until I found a large room in the center of the building. "Lacey?" I asked, seeing shadows of people in the middle. The scene made my heart pick up speed, and I was seconds away from turning and hightailing it out of there. "Abby?" Her voice sounded loud in the otherwise quiet room. "Yes. Come over." I did. "What are you guys doing here?" "We just got here. Give me a sec." She clicked a button, and a lantern glowed to life. "Am I the sacrificial lamb in some weird hazing ritual you all have?" "No, nothing like that. It was that thing I was telling you about. Perspective outings. We like to look up weird places to visit near us. It helps stretch our creative brains. Gives us new experiences, all that." "Ah, right. She had told me she did this. Like their own version of the Heartlist." "Got it." I lowered myself to the ground next to Lacey, disturbing some dust that immediately made me sneeze. Lacey patted my back, like that was the correct response to a sneeze, then said, "Abby, have you met Lydia, Kara, Nick, and Colby?" It was hard to see their faces in the shadows. "I met you two at the party." Kara's teeth glowed with a smile. "So what do you do once you're here?" I asked.
"Tell stories? Improv a bit?"
one of the guys said. "Nick? Colby?" I wasn't sure which was which. "What's improv?" I asked.
"It's a theater term that basically means to make things up as we go along."
"Are you in drama?"
Nick/Colby asked. "No, art." "Art? This is a good place for an artist to get inspired, too," Kara said. I looked around. Kara was right. This was a place that could inspire someone. Everything from the dusty pews to the statue of Mary up front glowed a soft yellow in the lantern's light. Muted evening sunlight tried to permeate the dirt-stained glass windows that bordered the room. An old piano sat up front, half of its white keys missing, creating the appearance of a gap-toothed smile. For the first time in a while, my fingers itched for a paintbrush. Remembering the art show, and my poor outcome there, quickly took that feeling away. I shrugged. "Yeah, it's cool." "Update," Lacey said, squeezing my arm, like she knew I was ready to be out of the spotlight. "I got a callback." One of the girls shrieked and it echoed off the walls and sent dust showering on our heads. Colby/Nick, the one who hadn't spoken yet, threw his arms over his head.
"Lydia, come on! You want us to get caught?"
She covered her mouth with her hand. "Sorry. That's just so exciting. When do you go in? What part are you reading for?"
"Next week. I'm reading for the lead girl." Now they were all a clamor of voices and excitement. I leaned over.
"I'm sorry I didn't ask you. I've been too caught up in my own problems."
"It's okay. I understand."
"Congrats," I said. "That's really exciting."
"Thanks."
She smiled, then put her hands up and everyone went silent.
Okay, let's get started. Everyone?